Hi, everyone. I'm Siri Vaith, Executive Director of CFRI, the Cystic Fibrosis Research Institute, and it is my pleasure and honor to welcome you to this episode of CF Community Voices. Last year, we did a community survey, and the issue of insurance came up consistently for people as a source of stress and unmet need in terms of information. And so we are so fortunate to have with us today Beth Sethian, who is known and beloved by many and is the go-to expert on all things in terms of navigating insurance, SSI, and SSDI. Before I turn it over to Beth, I do want to clarify, before you make any decisions about your health insurance plans, please don't make any changes until you have consulted with an expert in your state, your area. I do want to thank our sponsors, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, Gilead Sciences, Genentech, Viatris, and Chiesi USA. We are very grateful for their support. And now I get to turn the virtual mic over to Beth Sethian. Beth, as many people already know, is an attorney and director of the Cystic Fibrosis Social Security Project, which helps people with CF to apply for Social Security benefits. She's also the director of the CF Legal Information Hotline, which provides free and confidential information about laws that protect people with cystic fibrosis. An adult with CF, Beth serves on the CF Roundtable Board of Directors, where she writes a column about legal issues for our community. Mm-hmm. Beth, thank you so much for being here and welcome. Take it away.
Thank you, Siri. I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and I commend you for all of the wonderful things you're doing as director of CFRI. I know that the community really appreciates everything that CFRI does, and I know you're behind all of that. So thank you so much. So first, of course, I want to say that this presentation is informational only. Nothing in this presentation is intended to be legal advice about your specific situation, and the opinions expressed in the presentation are exclusively mine. So as Siri said, I'm director of the CF Legal Information Hotline and the CF Social Security Project. I've been a practicing attorney for 31 years, and I'm 56 years old, and I have CF. I'm a partner in the law firm of Sethian and Passamano, which is located in Houston, Texas. So the CF Legal Information Hotline began in 1998, and we've now had over 100,000 calls. So we can provide free and confidential information on the laws that protect people with CF. So we talk to people with CF, their family members, members of their CF care team. Those are the usual people we're talking to. And the hotline is operated by the law firm of Sethian and Passamano, but it's sponsored by the CF Foundation. We are not employees of the CF Foundation, so if you call CF Foundation, you won't get us there, and I will have information about how to contact us. So we also have the CF Social Security Project, which provides legal representation at no cost to people with CF in an application for either Social Security benefits or to help people with a continuing eligibility disability review. So we can help people more than once. So if we helped you, 5 years ago and you now need help again, that is possible. And you can contact us directly. You don't need a referral. And the project is operated also by the law firm of Sethian and Passamano, but generously sponsored by the CF Foundation. So the best way to reach us is by email, but feel free to call us, and then we can also schedule a time to talk to you. So when we talk about disability and laws that protect people with disabilities, it's important to realize that each law will have its own definition of disability. So disability may be defined one way for the Americans with Disabilities Act, a different way for Social Security, and yet a different way for the state disabled child extension coverage. So it's really important for you to know the definition of a person who is covered by the law, and know that sometimes the definitions may be different depending on the law you're looking at. So the first law we're going to talk about is the Affordable Care Act of 2010. And this presentation is about options for health insurance. And so it's important to know the options that the Affordable Care Act provides for people with cystic fibrosis. So the Affordable Care Act was passed in 2010, and it really changed the way people with CF have access to insurance coverage. It made it much easier to get coverage, and it provided extensions of coverage in certain situations. So most importantly, the Affordable Care Act said there's no longer the ability of an insurance company to prevent people with pre-existing conditions from getting coverage. And this is very helpful for people with CF. Prior to the Affordable Care Act, an insurance policy or an insurance company could say, we're not going to cover anyone who already has a medical condition that that came about prior to enrollment in the policy. There's no additional premiums or upcharges for people that have a pre-existing condition like CF. So the insurance company can't say, oh, you have CF, we're going to charge you more. That's really helpful. Third, there's a limiting age of 26 across all policies. So up until the age of 26, a person can stay as a dependent child in a group plan. So usually you're on the policy of one of your parents, and you can keep that coverage until you turn 26. There's no lifetime caps on coverage, which were an issue for people in the past. And there's limits on how much you have to pay out of pocket as a patient. So that's really helpful as well. Lastly, the Affordable Care Act expanded Medicaid to low-income adults. The Supreme Court then said that each state could decide if they wanted to expand Medicaid. And so right now we have 38 states that have expanded Medicaid to low-income adults. And that's really helpful to people. So one of the hot topics for people with CF and their families right now is reaching a limiting age on the policy at 26. And how can you then either continue the parents' coverage or find other coverage for the person with CF that is aging out of their parents' policy? So it's important to plan ahead. So the day of your 26th birthday is not the day you should start exploring what options you have. You want to maybe 2 or 3 months prior, consider what options you have for either continuing on your parents' plan or obtaining other coverage. So the first thing to consider is whether you would be able to extend your parents' policy coverage under a state law called Disabled Child Extension of Coverage. Sometimes some states have old language and call it incapacitated child extension of coverage. All states have state laws that extend the coverage if the child meets certain criteria, except for Oregon, Kansas, and Oklahoma. So those three states don't have a state law that allows you to extend coverage. But if you work for an employer that's based in a different state and you work, let's say, in Oregon, you still may be able to get the extension of coverage. So be aware of that. So what do you have to show to extend coverage? You have to show that first, you're incapable of self-sustaining employment because of a mental or physical disability. And then you have to show that you're chiefly dependent on your parent for support and maintenance. So the way you show that you're incapable of self-sustaining employment is usually through a form that the insurance company will provide. And your doctor has to write that he or she thinks you cannot self-sustain through employment because of your health. So that may be because of cystic fibrosis. You may have other conditions. You may have a mental health condition. You may have, let's say, very hard to control diabetes or kidney disease. So the physician is the one who will certify that you're incapable of self-sustaining employment. So the nice thing is you can work part-time. It's just you can't work enough and make enough money that would allow you to self-support, so pay all of your bills. Next, you do have to show, and most states require, a showing of 50% of your daily living expenses are paid for by your parent. So that can be a variety of things. That can be insurance payments, premiums, co-pays, rent, food, car insurance, things like that. So you can be asked by the insurance company to show receipts and proof that the parent is paying for 50% of your support and maintenance. The other thing is that you can't be married. So if you're married, you're not a dependent of your parents. So even if you can't work and self-sustain, and your parents are paying you 50% of your expenses, if you're married, you won't be able to get the extension of disabled child coverage. You need to show and apply for this extension prior to reaching the limiting age. And under federal law, under the Affordable Care Act, the limiting age is 26. So a few months before, get the paperwork, talk to your insurance company, and ask your doctor if they would support you continuing as a disabled child. A lot of people want to do this, especially when their parent has really good coverage. So if someone is working part-time with CF and doesn't have access to health insurance through the employer, often the best option is to continue the parent's policy if the parent has good coverage. If your parent doesn't have good coverage and they cause a lot of trouble for you, and you then probably want to consider one of the other things we're going to talk about. So even if you are not meeting the criteria for disabled child, you could extend your parent's policy by 36 months under COBRA. And if you'll see the last thing under COBRA here, you reach the limiting age, you get 36 months extension of coverage. So the difference between COBRA and disabled child extension is that under COBRA, you're going to pay the full premium cost. And under disabled child extension, if your employer, your parent's employer, is contributing to the premium help, they will continue to do that. So, for example, many employers pay a portion of the insurance that the parent has. So if you're getting $500 from the employer towards insurance, then under disabled child, you continue to get that employer contribution. But under COBRA, you will have to pay the full premium cost. Now, sometimes that's worth it if it's really good insurance, but that's the difference between doing the 36-month extension and the disabled child extension. So other possibilities for private group coverage. If you are on a parent's plan up until 26, you can be married. So if you're 21 and you get married, from 21 to 26, to your 26th birthday, you can still stay on your parents' plan, but you can't be a disabled child and get an extension after you turn 26. So if you're married, you want to see if your spouse has access to a plan that you would want to be on. And you have 60 days from when you lose your parents' coverage to then enroll in your spouse's coverage. Okay. And then similarly, if you have CF and you are employed by an employer, and that employer you think doesn't have as good insurance as your parent, you stay on your parents' policy. Once you turn 26, if you don't have a better option, you then would also have 60 days to enroll in your employer's plan. So those are two situations where you are on the parent's plan, you turn 26, if you don't meet the criteria for disabled child, then you have these two options if they apply to get different coverage. So how does the Affordable Care Act work? We are getting a lot of calls on our hotline from people who are about to turn 26, and often it's their parents calling. Sometimes it's a conference call with the parents and the child. And it's a little, you know, sad that a lot of people really don't understand what the Affordable Care Act provides, and they maybe have misconceptions from a long time ago about how insurance worked. So I do always like to make sure people know that if your best option is to purchase a plan on the Affordable Care Act exchange, those policies are good. There are a lot of criteria that the policies have to meet. So they have to cover FDA-approved drugs, and they have to provide coverage for hospital stays and clinic visits. There's 45 different services that an ACA plan has to provide. So it's very good coverage. They cover modulators. There's not any problem that we hear of with coverage for really most things. So off-label coverage would be something that's at the exception of the plan, but that's going to be for any insurance plan where the label of the medicine is for specific people and you want to ask for coverage off-label. You can certainly try that. And some people with CF have gotten off-label coverage under the ACA, but there's not a legal requirement that any insurance plan offer off-label coverage. There is a California law that's a little complicated about off-label coverage. So I guess if you're living in California, that may allow you that law to get off-label coverage. So the great thing about the ACA right now is if you go to healthcare.gov and you look for a plan, you are at a high likelihood of getting premium help to pay for that plan. And right now, 80% of the 14.5 million people who have an ACA plan that they've purchased from healthcare.gov are paying zero premium. And that's because the Biden administration has put a lot more funding towards premium help. So if you checked 5 years ago and the premium was high, you should check again because there is a lot more premium help that became available in the past year. So if you go to an insurance broker, then you don't get premium help. So the way to get the premium help is to go to the healthcare.gov and to see if you're eligible. So open enrollment has ended for 2022. And the next open enrollment begins November 1st of 2022 and ends December 15th in most states. So there may be a few states that have a longer period of time to enroll. So what does that mean? If you do not meet the special enrollment criteria and you decide today, February 18th, 2022, let me see if I can get a plan under Affordable Care Act. So you won't be able to do it because open enrollment has ended. And the only way to get enrollment under the ACA healthcare exchange is if you meet the special enrollment criteria. So that would be you've lost your coverage. So you turn 26, you lost your coverage. You have 60 days to ask for special enrollment on healthcare.gov, or you've had a change in your income, or you've moved states, or the policyholder has passed away. So those are ways that you can get special enrollment, even though open enrollment has passed. And here they are listed. And also change in household size. So if you have two people living in your household, now you have three, or someone moved out, that would be another way that you could get special enrollment. And here's a slide about premium subsidies. So if your income is between 138% of federal poverty and 400%, you should receive a subsidy. And in 2022, that would be between $17,774 and a little over $54,000 for a single person. And then that amount goes up as you add people to your household. You can find all of this on healthcare.gov if you need more information, depending on your size of household. So subsidies are available to U.S. citizens and also to non-citizens who are in the country legally. So some resident aliens would be eligible for subsidies. And the subsidy increases are part of something called the American Rescue Plan, which was passed by the Biden administration earlier in 2021. And they are providing the larger amounts of premium help. So that's a temporary expansion of the premium help, but there's not any indication, at least, that the current administration is going to reduce those premium increases of help, premium increase in help, not increase in the premium. All right. So the really important thing, especially, I mean, for ACA plans, but also for employer-based plans, and even for many Medicaid plans, is that often the plan has contracted with certain hospitals and certain providers to be the provider of choice. So when you're looking for an ACA plan, or you work for an employer, or your spouse does, or your parent does, and there's maybe more than one choice of plan, you want to make sure that the CF clinic you attend is a covered provider. So that's really important. And almost all plans, ACA plans or employer-based plans, are now contracting with specific providers. Why do they do that? Because they get a discount. So a certain insurance company says to a certain hospital, if we send all of our insured people to you, will you give us a discount? And the hospital says, sure. And then the insurance company says, if you need to go to a pulmonologist, this is the person you have to go to. And so that's the really important thing you need to check on, is are the providers you want to go to covered by the plan you're looking at? And I always think it's good to ask your provider, are you listed on this plan? Because when you ask the insurance company or the ACA marketplace representative, you might say, you know, is my CF center covered? And they'll say, oh, yeah, they're covered. But a certain insurance plan will have maybe 90 different types of plans. And maybe 45 of them contract with your CF center, but the other 45 might not. And so you want to make sure, I think the best way to make sure is to check with the actual provider. Do you cover XYZ insurance plan, Blue Choice Gold? And they can tell you yes or no. That's the best way to find out. All right. So let's say you have looked at ACA, and when you're looking at the ACA plans, something pops up that says you may be eligible for Medicaid based on the income amount you've put on the questionnaire you have on the ACA website on healthcare.gov. So if that pops up, which it should, if you're low income, then you would have the possibility of applying for Medicaid because you are low income. And Medicaid is very similar to ACA plans. Medicaid has to cover all medically necessary services. They're going to cover your CF care. They cover modulators. They cover almost everything you need. Off-label, I think you have to ask for an exception, but there are some Medicaid agencies that do approve off-label coverage. But for on-label, they're going to cover any FDA-approved drug. And the nice thing about Medicaid is you shouldn't pay any premium, and you should have no copays or deductibles. There are a few states, like two or three states, that do make people pay like $5 copays. So that is possible, but it's not many states. And you'll see that the poverty level for a single person for Medicaid is $17,774. So it's low, but if you are low income, and you live in a state that's expanded Medicaid, it's a very good option for coverage. So we have 12 states that have decided not to expand Medicaid. There is no real good reason for that. But when you hear of the reasons some of them say, it makes no sense. But here is a map of the states that have not expanded Medicaid to low-income adults. Low-income children up to the age of 18 can be on Medicaid. And many states allow the child to stay on until they turn 19. So that's another time when people need to assess if my state Medicaid is going to stop when my child turns 18. How am I going to get that child coverage? And if you live in one of these 12 states, it's going to be harder because you won't be able to get Medicaid as a low-income adult unless you're on SSI, Supplemental Security Income. So we have a lot of people call us and it's like 3 weeks after the child has lost Medicaid and they say, I just need to get him Medicaid. And they live in Georgia, and there's not a way to get Medicaid for a low-income person over 18 in Georgia right now. So if you're in one of these 12 states, you need to start earlier in trying to figure out what you're going to do if you are on Medicaid as a child, and also if you're going to lose your parents' coverage. And you live in one of these states and you think you're just going to get Medicaid by snapping your finger, that's not going to happen. So we can certainly assess if people are eligible for SSI and help them with an application. But it doesn't take 2 minutes to get someone approved for SSI. I know some people think that it does, but right now in most cities, it's taking 5 to 7 months. So it's not going to be, especially in these 12 states, you lose the Medicaid because you've turned 18, you apply for SSI, and 2 days later you're approved. That's not how it's working right now. So there is a need to try to plan Before you're going to lose your coverage, just even if you can't enroll in something else until you lose your current coverage, at least you have an idea of what you need to do and what type of coverage is available for you. There are a limited number of states that have some state programs that offer insurance, and the big one is GHPP, which is offered in California to certain adults with specific genetic diseases. And, you know, most people in California are aware of GHPP. They don't charge a premium if your household income is below, I think it's $99,999. So it's a pretty high cutoff to charging you a premium for GHPP, and that can be a good option for people. Michigan has a program for children and some adults with CF to cover specific types of items. So they don't cover everything and they don't have to cover everything. But Michigan is another state that has some good state programs. So I do want to just go back for a minute to Medicaid. So there are a few states that do offer something called Medicaid for people who are working with disabilities. So Pennsylvania has that program. And as long as you show that you're working, making $40 a month, you can qualify for Medicaid. So that's really helpful. Colorado also has a similar program. And Colorado's program lets you make a lot more money from work and get Medicaid. So that's really helpful too. But there's not many states that offer that type of program. But certainly check with your CF center, or you can contact us and determine if your state might have a working people with disabilities Medicaid coverage that lets you make more money than this low 17,000 number. Okay, so going back, so what's another way you might be able to get coverage? So another way is to assess if you're not working, making right now, the 2022 number, making more than $1,350 if you're employed by someone else and not working more than 20 hours, and you meet certain medical criteria, you may be eligible for either SSDI, which pays you a benefit per month based on how much you've paid in from work. And SSDI gives you eligibility for Medicare, but that's 29 months after your date of disability. So the date that Social Security says you are not able to work more than 20 hours, making more than the $1,350. So it's a long wait to get Medicare if you become eligible for SSDI. SSI is different. SSI is for people that have not worked enough to get SSDI, or they've worked a small amount, so they might get some of their check from SSI and some from SSDI. The nice thing about SSI is that it gives you eligibility for Medicaid. So in a state that doesn't give low-income adults Medicaid, SSI is your way to get Medicaid. And you get it upon being approved. And sometimes while your application is pending, you can get something called provisional Medicaid. Now, they don't always do that, but you should always ask for that. Like, we always ask, and sometimes we can get that for our clients, and sometimes they say no. But that is important to know. As an option. And I will say that CFRI has a wonderful webcast that we did together on Social Security. And if you go to their website, you'll be able to find a whole webcast just on Social Security. But right now, I'm just kind of giving the highlights in terms of access to insurance and Social Security. So here's just some other information about SSI. If you're single, you would also have to have less than $2,000 in assets, and they don't count one car and one house. And if you're more than two adults or two adults plus children, your total asset limit is $3,000. So there's lots of rules to become eligible for SSI. The other thing to really understand is if you're on SSI, you have to follow all of these different rules. And if you don't, your benefit stops and your Medicaid stops. If you're in one of the states that offers Medicaid to low-income adults, that's not a problem. But if you're in one of those 12 states and you lose the SSI and Medicaid, then there's not a pathway for you to get Medicaid. So it's really important, especially for people with CF in those 12 states, know what the rules are. And if you have a question, reach out to us. We can answer the question, you know, what if I have a motorcycle? Is that counted as a car? Yes. So if you have one car and a motorcycle, the value of the motorcycle is counted towards your $2,000 asset limit. And if you're holding yourself out as married, meaning you call someone your husband or your wife, you file your taxes jointly as a couple, then Social Security will say you're holding yourself out as married, and they will count the spouse's assets and income towards these limits. So that's really important to understand. So hopefully this has been helpful. Please reach out to us if you have questions. cflegal@suffianpasimano.com is the best way to reach us. And there's lots of options for insurance. So typically we can find some pathway for you to get insurance. Just start early if you think you're going to have a change or loss of coverage. So thank you so much, CFRI and Siri. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Beth. And if you Well, we'll leave this up right now for a moment for people to screenshot that email address. But then once we stop sharing the screen, I have a couple questions for you, if you don't mind addressing them.
Okay, sure.
And one of them was that point about really checking to see whatever plan you select, whether your CF center and provider is covered. And I guess, what do people do? And I say this even personally when I was doing research for my adult daughter, that it didn't look like she would have coverage at her CF center. And so do people end up, because everybody does need to have health insurance and coverage, selecting a plan that may not have a CFF accredited CF center? What are people doing in this situation?
That's a good question. I think, the best thing to do, if you're picking from a variety of plans on the Affordable Care Act website, you should find a plan that covers your center. There's only one city where the one CF center is not on any ACA plans. So usually you can find an ACA plan that will cover your center. But sometimes if you're at an employer, and the employer has one plan and it doesn't cover your CF center, I think you want to first of all explore, is there a different type of coverage that would allow you to have coverage at your CF center? So is there an ACA plan, or are you under 26? Can you go on your parents' plan? Does your spouse have a plan? So is there another option for coverage that would cover your CF center? If you really have no other options and you can only take a plan that doesn't cover your CF center, then you can ask for an exception to have the CF center covered. But in order to get the exception granted, both entities, both the insurance company and the CF center hospital or office, has to agree to payment. And so sometimes there's no agreement because the insurance company says, well, yeah, we'll give you an exception and we're going to pay you $10. And the CF center is like, we don't take $10. Like, we want $240. And so sometimes there is not an exception because there's not an agreement. So in a situation where someone cannot get an exception, it's the only plan they can get. Often what people will do is they'll go to the approved provider for like blood work and sputum culture and what else is there? Sometimes PFTs, x-rays, and then they'll pay out of their pocket for a visit at the CF center, you know, once every 3 months or once every 4 months. So most places charge between $200 and $250 for the office visit. And the high dollar things are when you're getting x-rays and sputum cultures and blood work. So that is in an extreme situation where you cannot get another plan. There's just no way. And there's no exception. That is what some people, how some people try to make it work.
Another question for people who are turning 26, does the person who has the plan, the parent, do they need to initiate that inquiry to the provider?
Like, yes. So the parent would ask, their insurance company for whatever paperwork they need to try to get the disabled child extension. And I think, like, you know, 3 months ahead of time, just in case they say, we don't know what you're talking about. You have some time. Like, 2 days before you turn 26 is not the time to ask for the paperwork. I mean, sometimes people tell us, we never knew about this. We only have 2 days, and they just, you know, move heaven and earth and get it done. But once you turn 26, if you turn paperwork in the next day, it's too late. You've lost the coverage. So we don't see any plans then saying, oh, okay, sure, we'll let you back on. So you want to ask ahead of time. Just having a letter from the doctor is usually not going to be enough. They want you to have this form filled out and signed by the doctor. And I think the other important thing is discuss with your doctor why you think you can't work enough to support yourself. So some doctors think it just means, you know, if you have high PFTs, you can't be a disabled child and get a disabled child extension. And that's not true. There's no PFT requirement at all for disabled child extension. So, you know, if you have high PFTs because you're taking a lot of care of yourself and you know if you work full time, you wouldn't be able to have good PFTs, you could still get the disabled child extension. So I think occasionally there are CF providers that need that explained to them. You know, I understand I have good PFTs, but let me tell you what I do during the day. I work 4 hours and then I do 2 hours of care in the morning and 2 hours at night. You know, plus I'm making certain food for my diabetes, I'm trying to exercise. So I think it is important to explain that to some providers, especially if you have high PFTs. But there's no PFT requirement for disabled child extension. In addition, it's not required that you be on Social Security. So people make a mistake and think that. But that is not true. It has nothing to do with Social Security. It has its own rules under state law.
And in the states that do not have the expanded Medicaid, and so people turn 18 and they lose that coverage, their option, I mean, you went through SSI, SSDI, things like that. But is that where ACA would be an option?
Yes.
And with the new subsidies, they might end up having a plan that isn't going to cost.
Yes. People just think I'm making it up, but if you Google, there are statistics from the government that show that 80% of the 14.5 million people that have ACA plans, 80% of them are paying zero premium. So, and there's a wide range of income levels. So it's pretty high income cutoffs. to get you zero premium. Now, if you make $1 million a year, you will not get a premium subsidy. So you have to be within the guidelines of household income, but those have increased and people just need to check, because everyone who calls me says, no, 10 years ago when it first started, the premium was 800 and I couldn't get a premium help. And I say, okay, well, look again, please just go look again, because there is a lot more money right now for premium help. So it's worth it to look. And the people at CF Foundation Compass can help you assess the ACA plans that are available. And that's a free resource as well. So that's a good place to go. They'll help you kind of compare plans. There's usually, you know, 2 to 10 different plans you can choose from, maybe more in some cities.
Beth, I thank you so much for once again sharing your incredible expertise, your incredible range of knowledge and depth of knowledge with the CF community. And I'm sure many people now are feeling very reassured that they have options for themselves or for their adult children who are turning 26. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Siri. Bye-bye.